Hank Green has YouTube channels like SciShow, Crash Course. He's one of the Vlog Brothers. He organizes VidCon, which just ended. So he's a well-respected, well-liked creator on YouTube. And he's concerned about a few things. Facebook's going to YouTube creators like him and others saying, put your video on Facebook. And I don't mean put a link to your YouTube on Facebook. Put your video natively on Facebook. He says the information they give us is, and they're giving out to the public, is lies, is cheats. He says, if I embed a YouTube video or a Vine on Facebook, only a tiny fraction of my audience will see it. But if I post the same video natively on Facebook, suddenly it's in everyone's feed everywhere. Facebook is happy to admit this strategy.
Because Facebook's argument is also that, and this is the same with instant articles, that it is going to serve a lot better and faster and nicer, and people don't want delay.
Right. And I mean, that part is not surprising anyway. I mean, with any third-party app, it just seems that stuff is not shown to as many people. That just anything that's natively done on Facebook, if you post directly to Facebook, definitely more people are going to see it. That's just the way that algorithm works.
It's kind of like the complaints people make about Google's search terms favoring YouTube videos, though, right? It's kind of like, well, Facebook shouldn't really promote, you know, because they control what you see in your feed. So that's the question. Is Facebook saying, oh, well, I see you linked to YouTube. I guess we won't push you to your friends.
And why is anyone shocked about either example?
Well, that's doing business.
Yeah.
In fact, he says, I guess that's their prerogative.
Yeah.
But as a creator, it seems like an abuse of power. The other one, and this is to me more damning, is the how you count a view. Now, I don't.
Yeah, this is an issue that the advertisers are going to give them hell about.
Yeah.
This is an interesting. This is the most interesting part.
Facebook says if you have that video visible on your screen for 3 seconds, you viewed it.
And by the way, of course, you didn't play or interact with it. You viewed it. However, Facebook also says the numbers they pay attention to are if you turned up the sound, if you did something with it. So they've got to shift to those more meaningful metrics.
Yeah, because he's saying they'll count you as a view even if you don't turn on the sound. But the nature of Facebook, unless you've turned off autoplay video, is that the minute you start scrolling past something, it's playing.
And if it takes you 3 seconds, 1,000 comes real quickly.
That's a view. So
basically, if it just shows up in your feed, you viewed it without doing anything.
I think so.
Of course, Lynn, you're right. Of course, now the big deal in advertising is more than half the ads you didn't even actually ever see. So now it's a big deal. Viewability means that the ad appeared on your screen before your eyeballs, and now we can charge you for it. So viewability has a very funny definition when it comes to advertising, where we are kind of ripping off the advertisers for you don't make money that way.
Ixnay on the Ipping Ray.
You're not making money that
for
way.
For years, radio, you know, has gotten away with. Well, yes. Newspapers. Does newspapers, so, and people sometimes ding podcasts for exactly the same thing. Well, people downloaded it, but did they listen to it? People bought the paper, but did they see every single ad in the paper? I don't think so.
Well, but in this case, Leo, we had ads, right, but we had ads that were on pages that we know didn't ever scroll up.
Right. I'm just saying that's the nature of the world until you have a way of counting people where people are looking. There's going to be some slop. Yeah, we charge people for downloads, not for views, because we can't tell whether somebody actually listened to a show. Only that
Facebook
they downloaded
can
it.
Tell, and they've decided not to, right? Like that's Hank's point.
They've changed how they count it, right? But you can make the argument that they do that because otherwise their numbers are going to be grossly incomparable to other media, because other media is inflating their numbers. So we need to do the same.
Yeah.
I'm not defending Facebook. I'm just saying that might be the thinking. So he's saying they should do what YouTube does. The view is counted at the point where people seem to be actually engaging with the video, which is usually around 30 seconds, but it's different for videos of different lengths. So in other words, YouTube, and the two graphs are pretty telling. Here's Facebook retention at 30 seconds is about 20%. YouTube retention at 30 seconds, about 86%. He says, this might seem a little like a victimless crime. By the way, Anil Dash underlined this. So must be. I love this feature of Medium where you can see others, people annotating and underlining and stuff. This might seem a little like this is a victimless crime, but it fundamentally devalues the number one metric of online video. The view is the thing that everyone talks about. It's the thing creators sell to advertisers. Applying that word to something far less valuable is going to be extremely disruptive to creators. Ad agencies and brands are confused enough without Facebook muddying the waters by calling something a view when it is in no way a measurement of viewership.
Now, does YouTube report only fully viewed videos, or does it also count
a
portion as a view?
No, in fact, it does not count fully viewed videos, but it doesn't count it as a view right away.
it's degrees we're talking
about. It's a matter of degree, yeah.
Why is Facebook defining what a view is, or YouTube for that matter? I mean, why?
Because there's no standard. There isn't.
There isn't a standard.
No, and there isn't in podcasting either. There has been for years in radio and television, but there have been competing standards. There's been Arbitron and Nielsen. They're now all kind of unified. But for years.
You know, it's always been relative BS.
Well, that's right. Okay, that's
because
the thing.
Because it has to be.
That's the thing like that kids like Hank don't realize is we've always been lying.
Right, but because it was immeasurable before, but now it is measurable.
Well, maybe we need to rethink it. That's right.
Listen, I thought that Hank's framing of this, the lies, the stealing, the viciousness, however he put it, I was extreme. But I also feel like, look, you know, like Taylor Swift told Apple they were screwing up and Apple
changed. Got our attention.
Right? So we need creators like Hank who are really well known, who have been in this business and who are on the creative side to kind of, you know, speak truth to power in a way like, hey, I'm building a business on this. This is confusing and hard. And this freebooting, is that what it's called? This freebooting issue with Facebook video is also just infuriating. And I'm like, information wants to be free. Hey, share my stuff. I would be infuriated if someone took my video, stripped out attribution and ads and whatever else I put in it, and then republished it under their own. That would make me crazy.
He says, according to a report from Ogilvy and Tubular Labs, of the 1,000 most popular Facebook videos in the first quarter, 725 were stolen, and in a sense, stolen because they were downloaded from YouTube or somewhere else and re-uploaded to Facebook. And he says that's 17 billion views last quarter. So, and by the way, if you complain to Facebook, they'll take, and maybe some of those videos are his. He says you could complain to Facebook, and in a couple of days, they'll take it down. You know, he says, once it's received 99.9% of the views it's ever going to get.
But these are lessons that, you know, in some fairness here, YouTube had to go through all these lessons in its early days of video, and Facebook has made this big push to video fairly recently. So that obviously YouTube had to create an entire system. Remember the Viacom suit. An entire system to recognize copyrighted material, to get rid of it, to deal with challenges. It took building. I think Gina is right that he raises important points. The positioning is rather harsh and extreme. The better way to raise this might have been to say that as a growing industry, of which Hank is a real leader, we need some standards. And whoever the platform is, whoever comes down the line, when YouTube starts playing videos natively, when Verizon's doing the phones, we as a new industry need standards so that we can know what our own data is and so we can give advertisers reliable things. That's the more mature way, I think, to put it.
He talks about Destin Sandlin, who runs a great channel called Smarter Every Day, spends a lot of money and time making his videos. One of his videos this is what happens. It's not Facebook doing this. Some other company wanted traffic on their page just took his video and put it on their page. It got 17 million views. Destin has made a video that talks about this issue. And I do think that that's unfair. Although, couldn't you be just as upset about YouTube taking the vast majority of the profits from you and on and on? I mean, it's not like creators are well treated in general.
Well, and you're right. But this goes.
Facebook would have to be really, really bad to make YouTube look good, and apparently they are.
But that's the other principle here: is some means of rev share.
Yeah.
And I talked to my friend Samir Arora at Glam, and with all the videos they're doing, they always pay a creator full stop. if you natively just recommend something, they don't necessarily pay you. But if you embed it, they will pay you.
Maybe this is what Hank's point is.
Argument really is that Facebook doesn't have a partnership with creators in the same way that YouTube does. I think that's what it really comes down to.
And if
YouTube
Facebook
didn't
were,
at first either.
And if Facebook were smart, they could actually, if they did it right and said, no, you know what, we're going to do this right. We're going to share it with you. We're going to protect you. They could beat YouTube easily.
They could leapfrog it, which is by the way, exactly. And there's a precedent for this. Exactly Facebook's strategy with news organizations, with instant articles. We're out of the gate. They said, if you sell the ad, you keep 100%. If we sell it, we keep 30%. You get 70%. There's the deal. You're going to get better serving because you're natively done. You're going to get more traffic because you're natively done. And people complain about that, but hey, it's our business. They could make similar deals with video creators. And the advantage that you're in right now, which I argue with the news industry, which I would say the same thing to Hank and company, is rather than just saying, I'm a YouTube guy and Facebook's all bad, the smarter thing to do, the clever thing to do, is to play them off each other and to say, well, Facebook did that. YouTube, why don't you do that? Well, look, Facebook, YouTube did this. And in a position where if content from these big guys does matter, you know, when I called into Stern, we talked about it on last week's show, and he was aghast that there was somebody named PewDiePie making huge amounts of money. But he was agog. He talked about Booker, one of his DJ friends, and he said, Booker's been in the industry for 30, 40 years. He's not making $8 million a year. He should go to work for PewDiePie. And it is amazing. There are now 35 presenters on YouTube that have more than 10 million followers each. That's a phenomenal ecosystem. There is revenue sharing going on with there. So they're each, but meanwhile, Google is not revenue sharing. It doesn't have the means to embed. I yelled at them 2 years ago saying, make content embeddable on Google Plus, put ads in there, start. I said, not they should listen to me, but this mechanism has been there, and content creators should see the opportunity to negotiate. And Hank, I think, has an opportunity because he has a huge, I was so impressed with VidCon, and it's an incredible creation. And that middle floor is creators. And I'm not suggesting they start a union among them, but you can start a negotiation platform.
That's a great idea.
A union is, the wrong word because it's going around a lot with Gawker and places like that. But if you look at what The Guardian did and bringing together eight publishers with Google and the Digital News Initiative, there is a mechanism where the German publishers were going against Google. Google needed friends. The Guardian put together friends and said, okay, let's talk turkey. Let's get real about this.
Isn't that what Maker should be doing, though? Companies that are doing this kind of aggregation on YouTube, that is a union. In effect, shouldn't you be going to YouTube and saying?
Guild, maybe a better way. Yeah.
A guild. Yeah. And what should Facebook do about freebooting? Because that's really nasty.
They should do the same things that YouTube eventually had to do, which is, number one, you have a detection system.
Content ID.
And content ID. And number two, that when challenged, you operate pretty quickly and take stuff down.
Content ID has worked on YouTube, has it?
Finally. Yes. It took a long time to build.
Yeah.
And you know, you could almost hope that Google would open source it for the sake of the entire nascent video industry.
I got to think now, Facebook is working on a content ID system.
They need to. They need to.
So the product manager for Facebook Video responded to this Medium post. And it's at the bottom of that Medium post. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Lynn.
I was going to say the same thing you're saying. It looks like Facebook is trying to do something, right?
Yeah.
So, and
he
then
says, my name is Matt Pakes, or Pakes, and I'm a project manager at Facebook responsible for video products. First, I want to be clear that we and I absolutely do care about digital video creators. We also care about the people who watch videos on Facebook as well as advertisers. Our goal is to build and support products for video creators and to create a sustainable video ecosystem that works well for everyone. To that end, I'd like to address your concerns.
So this product manager, he defends autoplay by saying that people only see videos in their newsfeed if they have interacted with videos in the past, which means they're more likely to care about videos. So they see more videos, and so they know that they feel like autoplay is the best experience because forcing the user to actually interact and tap the play button doesn't make sense. It's a better experience because their newsfeed is smarter. Now he says the data bears that out. Okay. He also says if you've stayed on a video for at least 3 seconds, it signals to us, to Facebook, that you are not simply scrolling through feed and that you've shown intent to watch the video. So he's saying 3 seconds on a video shows intent.
And you can, by the way, if you're a page owner, see a little bit more, like how long people watch and so forth. So the public view count is just one data point that they provide. If you're if you own the video, you get a lot more.
Right. And then he says that they've got an IP system. They have an Audible Magic system that they've used and that they're working on it. Significant technical challenge on our scale. Have a team working on it, you know. So, look, this is the, you know, this is the line, right? That this but this is a decent response. It's interesting that they defended autoplay this way. Over years of developing and tuning newsfeed, we know that clicking on a link to play video is not a great user experience. So people tend to interact slightly less with non-native video, so the posts get less engagement. Native video posts with autoplay tend to see better engagement, more watch time, and higher view counts.
Here's an example on my page. So Jim Cutler, our friend, posted a video of Billy Joel at the NASA Coliseum from YouTube. In order to watch that, I'd have to press the play button. And it would then play. At least I wouldn't have to leave the YouTube page. But if I keep scrolling down, I'm sure I'll find some... this Kelly Lewis. Some native video somewhere in here. There's another YouTube. Well, actually, I don't... Maybe I don't interact a lot with native video because they're not putting any native video in here. Hey, oh, here we go. And then Felicia Day, who was smart enough to make that native video, and you see. And actually, you know, it does kind of make you stop a little bit.